Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Ballabha Gira Baladhari Gopi Jana Ballabha Gira Baladhari Jashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Shoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Ballabha Gira Baladhari Gopi Jana Ballabha Gira Baladhari Jashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari 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 Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Stotara Sata Sri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Itai Gaur Premanandi
Kribol
All glories to the assembled devotees
Hare Krishna
All glories to the assembled devotees
Hare Krishna
All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hey,
Krishna.
All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga.
All glories.
Ramanandaji, excuse me. Raghava Prabhu is trying to get on. His computer's not working. He's home. And what is that access code you gave me yesterday so he could try to do that by phone?
Sure. I'll stick that right in the chat window. Just give me a minute. Do you know how to get the chat?
I'll look for it, but no, I'm not sure.
Okay, I'll send it to you by email.
You know, email it to Raghava. You have his email?
Yes.
Oh, that number, my computer's not working. Email it to me.
Oh, okay.
Jai. Sureshwar Ji, Hari Bol, great to have you on board again.
Hare Krishna. Well, I'm here in spirit, but the voice is still coming, as you know.
Yeah.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada. Canto 1, The Creation, Chapter 9, The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev in the Presence of Lord Krishna. Today's texts 20 and 21. So we'll do 20 responsively. Yang manyase matule yang.
Yang manyase matuleyang.
Yang manyase matuleyang.
Yang manyase matuleyang.
Priyang mitrang suhritamam.
Priyang mitrang suhritamam.
Priyang mitrang suhritamam.
Priyang mitrang suhritamam.
Akuro sachivang dutam.
Akoro tsachivang dutang.
Akaro sachivang dutang.
Akaro sachivang dutang.
Sorida datasaratim.
Sorida datasaratim.
Sorida datasaratim.
Sorida datasaratim.
Yang manyase matuleyang.
Yang manyase matuleyang.
Priyang mitrang mitrang suhritamam.
Priyang mitrang suhritamam.
Akuro sachivang dutang.
Akuro sachivang dutang.
Sorida datasaratim.
Sorida datasaratim.
Please chant.
Yang manyase matuleyang.
Yang manyase matuleyang.
I have my karma to hear Narahari chanting when I call back.
Priyang. Priyang mitrang suhritamam.
Priyang mitrang suhritamam.
Akarot sachivang dutam. Sohritat atasaratim.
Sohritat atasaratim. Yang manyase matuleyam. Priyam mitram suritamam. Akro sachivang dutam.
Sarida datta saritim. Ladies, ladies chant.
Yam manyase matuleyam.
Priyam mitram suritamam.
Priyam mitram
suritamam. Akaro sachivam dutam.
Akaro sachivam dutam.
Sahridat atasaratim.
Yam manyase matuleyam.
Yam manyase matuleyam.
Priyam mitram sohritamam.
Priyam mitram sohritam.
Akaro sachivam dutam.
Akaro sachivam dutam.
Akaro sachivam dutam.
Sauridat atasaratim.
Sauridat atasaratim.
Okay, word for word meaning. Yum.
Yum.
The person.
The person.
Manyase.
Manyase.
You think. Matuleyam.
Matuleyam.
Maternal cousin. Priyam. Very dear. Mitram. Friend.
Suhritamam.
Ardent well-wisher. Akuro.
Aro.
Executed. Sachivam. Council. Dutam. Messenger.
So ridat.
By goodwill. Ata. Thereupon. Saratim. Charioteer. Translation, this is Grandfather Bhishma continuing to address Yudhisthira Maharaj and all the Pandavas and Lord Krishna. Translation, O King, that personality whom out of ignorance only you thought to be your maternal cousin, your very dear friend, well-wisher, counselor, messenger, benefactor, etc., is that very personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. Please repeat, O King.
O King.
That personality whom out of ignorance only.
That personality whom out of ignorance only.
You thought to be your maternal cousin.
You thought to be your maternal cousin.
Your very dear friend.
Your very dear friend.
Well-wisher, counselor, messenger.
Well-wisher, counselor, messenger.
Benefactor, etc.
Benefactor, etc.
Is that very personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna.
Prabhu's before Shreshwar Prabhu begins his discourse, I just really want to beg at the feet of the Vaishnavas that we all mute who's on Skype. This is a cooperative effort. I have no way to mute you. The only thing I can do is hang up on you if there's too much background noise. So please, if you could all mute in the chat, I just put a link to where there's instructions about how to mute. So if you're confused at all, you can hit that and it'll show you a picture where to mute. But please, if we could all do that, that would be great. I also want to very much honor Hanuman Prashek Swami, who's listening in amongst us as well. So Shreshwar Prabhu, we're all going to mute right now and give it over to you. Thank you.
Okay, I wish I could mute too in the presence of Hanuman Prashek Maharaj. Hanuman Prashek Swami Ki Jai.
Hi.
Ki Jai.
That unique combination of scientist and dramatist, you don't see that every day in the material world. Sorry to embarrass you, Maharaj, but I'm a big fan of yours. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada's brief purport to text 20. Lord Sri Krishna, although acting as the cousin, brother, friend, well-wisher, counselor, messenger, benefactor, etc. of the Pandavas, was still the supreme personality of Godhead. Out of his causeless mercy and favor upon his unalloyed devotees, he performs all kinds of service. But that does not mean that he has changed his position as the absolute person. To think of him as an ordinary man is the grossest type of ignorance. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyanam Janashalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is forcing open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances to him. Vancha kalpatrubhyascha kripa sindhu vevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who can fulfill the desires of everyone just like desired trees and who are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. And Prabhu, please have compassion upon me as I attempt to give this class despite this lingering cough I picked up on the international flight back from India. So, Grandfather Bhishma, as you've been hearing, is discoursing, and it is the Lord's arrangement that he do this. Not even Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could dissipate Yudhisthira Maharaja's lamentation. Just as before the Battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was lamenting that he had to fight and face his friends and family, and Krishna had to speak the whole Gita just to convince him and all of us that we're not the body, we're part and parcel of him, we have an ultimate duty to him, ultimately to surrender to him. So now, after the battle, 640 million people died. That's twice the population of the United States of America. 640 million people died in 18 days. And Yudhisthira Maharaj, being a true Rajarshi, a saintly king, he's, by the Lord's arrangement, he's in this mood that why? This is Arjuna said, why do I have to fight? And so now Yudhisthira is saying, why did we have to fight? Just so I could be the king? No, no, this is horrible. This is horrible. The kingdom was going on, and now all the men are, the men folk are dead. All the husbands and the brothers and the sons, and the women folk are unprotected. Why? Just so I could be the king? No, actually, as Bhishma has just recently told everyone in class, this is all due to the supreme will of the Lord. There's no other reason that you Pandavas, who are personally protected by Krishna, and you're following religious principles, you're protected by God, the Brahmins, religious principles, this must be the arrangement of Lord Krishna. And it was Krishna's arrangement. And for so many reasons, that's one of Krishna's qualities. He can accomplish many purposes with one action. So it was Krishna's arrangement that many, many, many days after the Battle of Kurukshetra, that Bhishmadev would, who had a boon, he wouldn't have to leave his body till he wanted to, and his father, Shantanu, that he would be able to, while he's lying on his incredible bed of arrows, that he could discourse and deliver sublime instructions with full presence of mind and greet everyone who came, all the devas and the rishis and the munis, perfectly reciprocate with them, although externally he couldn't receive them very well, but internally, excuse me, he was able to reciprocate with all of them perfectly, full consciousness. So Lord Krishna, he wanted to give this opportunity to Grandfather Bhishma, who, as the verses said, fought on so many battlefields and was involved in so many affairs, discussing so many topics, that at the end of his life, Bhishma could deliver this sublime discourse. Krishna wanted to glorify this great Mahajan, Bhishma Mahajan, on the battlefield. He was speaking sublime transcendental knowledge under the most excruciating circumstance. And he also, and Krishna also wanted to give Bhishma, who was the well-wished, who was in their corner, as we say, even while the Kurus were trying to kill the Pandavas, practically, just so they could rule. So Bhishma was lamenting, that previous verse, you have suffered so much, and your mother has suffered so much, Queen Kunti, because of who you are and what you had to do. So Krishna wanted to give Bhishma the opportunity to see the Pandavas finally triumphant and rightly installed as the rulers of the kingdom. And Krishna was giving Bhishma an opportunity to see him at the end. And that's what this chapter is moving toward, this sublime exchange between Bhishma and Krishna. So right now in the discourse, again, I'll read the translation. O king, Bhishma is saying to Yudhisthira, that personality whom out of ignorance only you thought to be your maternal cousin. Maternal cousin, why? Because Kunti is their mother, and Kunti is the sister of Vasudev, and Krishna is the son of Vasudev. So they're cousins, cousin brothers. Your very dear friend, you thought to be your maternal cousin, your very dear friend, well-wisher, counselor, messenger, benefactor, etc., is that very personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So he just finished saying this is all due to the arrangement of the Almighty, and that Almighty is that self-same supreme person. And now in the purport, Prabhupada takes the opportunity of that information, that statement from Bhishma, to remind everybody that although Krishna, he acts in so many different capacities, he reciprocates with his unlimited energies in so many different ways. This does not at all diminish his position. In fact, it's his glory. Right in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, I believe it's in the first verse, 111, Srila Prabhupada, he throws down the gauntlet, so to speak, to Kali Yuga humanity, and says, and makes a distinction, a very crucial distinction between God and the absolute truth. When we think of the word God, we think of the Almighty, the controller, the creator, like that. But Krishna is all about much, much, much more than that. Krishna is about exchanging love, loving exchanges with his dear devotees in unlimited different capacities. So again, that brief purport, Prabhupada said, Lord Sri Krishna, although acting as the cousin, brother, friend, well-wisher, counselor, messenger, benefactor, etc., of the Pandavas, was still the supreme personality of Godhead. Out of his causeless mercy and favor upon his unalloyed devotees, he performs all kinds of service, but that does not mean that he has changed his position as the absolute person. To think of him as an ordinary man is the grossest type of ignorance. Yudhisthira Maharaj, of course, great devotee, he doesn't really need to be instructed, but as Prabhupada mentioned in the topic sentence, I believe, check 17, that the Lord, Prabhupada, I remember he began that purport by saying, there was a popular saying that the housewife teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. Okay, there's a popular saying where? Not in the Western world, but certainly in classic Vedic culture. It's very indirect. It's very refined. So when the new bride and the new groom go to live at the parents' house initially, if the mother-in-law of the bride sees that the girl still needs a little help, a little instruction, a little refinement, she'll do that indirectly by teaching her own daughter. And if the bride is cultured, she'll pick up on that and she'll learn. So similarly, the analogy is that the Lord, he'll teach the world by teaching his devotee. Even if the devotee doesn't necessarily need it, the Lord will put him in a certain situation or a certain mood, as he did with Arjuna, as he's doing now with Yudhisthira, so we can all learn, we can all benefit. So to think of him as an ordinary man is the grossest type of ignorance that called to mind right away in the Gita, both in the 7th chapter and in the 9th chapter, of which there were so many echoes in terms of demigod worship, in terms of Krishna's relationship with his energies, in terms of impersonalism. There's two verses, 1:724, Krishna says, "Unintelligent men who know me not think that I have assumed this form and personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is changeless and supreme." Perfectly echoed again in the 9th chapter, text 11, after Krishna, from text 4 through 9, which is all about Achinchya Beta Beta Tattva. And then in text 10, Krishna says, "This material nature is working under my direction, O Son of Kunti, and it's producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again." So in the good heart, in the pious heart, in the non-envious heart, that will inspire devotion to our beloved source. But in the envious heart, in the Mayavad heart, that will inspire objection and further envy. So therefore, Krishna, anticipating this, he says in 9:11, we have our 9:11 too, this is our 9:11 for the Mayavadis, "Fools deride me when I descend in this human form. They do not know my higher nature and my supreme dominion over all that be." And what's the consequence of that foolishness? The next verse, what does Krishna say? He says, "Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes of liberation, their fruit of activities, their culture of knowledge are all defeated." So, Yudhisthira is not really in ignorance, but Krishna has put him in this mood to glorify Bhishma, to instruct us by instructing Yudhisthira. And Prabhupada is talking to us when he says, "To think of him as an ordinary man is the grossest type of ignorance." The thing is, with our tiny material Dr. Frog minds, we can't conceive that our beloved source can expand unlimited worlds. And then also, if he likes, he can walk around inside one, just like Mother Yashoda. You know, if you go to Brahmanda Ghat in Vrindavan with some parikrama, you'll say, "Okay, this is the place where Krishna was accused of eating dirt." And then Mother Yashoda said, "Okay, Krishna, if you really haven't eaten dirt, you say that Balaram and the cowherd boys have falsely accused you. Okay, open your mouth." So he opened his mouth. And as we know, inside that mouth, Yashoda Mai saw all the expansion of the universe. And she got bewildered. And the Vatsalya Rasa was disturbed. And Krishna didn't like that. So when she started thinking very philosophically and in awe and reverence, then Krishna just covered her over again with Vatsalya Rasa. And so Prabhupada says in one recording, he says, "So then Yashoda Mai said, all right, don't do it again. Close your mouth. Just don't eat dirt." So, okay. So this is wonderful, Krishna. Let's go to the next verse. I'm glad Ramananda companioned in these verses for today's class, because the next verse expands more on Krishna's position. Rather technical, rather philosophical. We'll try to unpack that and just bring it home to wonderful Krishna, the Supreme Person here. Text 21. Bhishma Dev is continuing. It gets really philosophical here. He says, being the absolute personality of Godhead, he is present in everyone's heart. He is equally kind to everyone, and he is free from the false ego of differentiation. Big words, yeah? He is free from the false ego of differentiation. Therefore, whatever he does is free from material in a variety. He is equal balanced. Okay, I'm going to read the purport. Because he is absolute, there is nothing different from him. He is Kaivalya. There is nothing except himself. Everything and everyone is the manifestation of his energy. And thus he is present everywhere by his energy, being non-different from it, just as the sun is present wherever there is sunshine. The sun is identified with every inch of the sun rays and every molecular particle of the rays. Similarly, the Lord is distributed by his different energies. He is Paramatma, or the Super Soul, present in everyone as the supreme guidance. And therefore, he is already the chariot driver and counsel of all living beings. When he therefore exhibits himself as chariot driver of Arjuna, there is no change in his exalted position. It is the power of devotional service only that demonstrates him as the chariot driver or the messenger. Since he has nothing to do with the material conception of life, because he is absolute spiritual identity, there is for him no superior or inferior action. Excuse me. Being the absolute personality of Godhead, he has no false ego, and so he does not identify himself with anything different from him. The material conception of ego is equal balanced in him. He does not feel, therefore, inferior by becoming the chariot driver of his pure devotee. It is the glory of the pure devotee that only he can bring about service from the affectionate Lord. So, Srila Prabhupada takes that very technical, philosophical verse. Again, Bhishma says, being the absolute personality of Godhead, he is present in everyone's heart. He's equally kind to everyone, and he is free from the false ego of differentiation. Therefore, whatever he does is free from material in ebriety. He is equal balance. So Prabhupada takes, you know, though every line is practically a sutra. It's so packed with information and knowledge. And then Prabhupada brings it all home. He takes us from the tattva to the rasa, to the relationship. And that's where it all, that's what it's all about. So that's what Krishna is all about. So when Bhishma Dev says free from the false ego of differentiation, what does that mean? Well, we think of different things. Shakti, Shakti Mayora, Bheda. There's no difference between the energy and the energetic, ultimately, qualitatively. Just as there's no difference between the sun and the sunshine or the ocean and the drop. Krishna, in his Paramatma feature, he's intimately connected with every feature of his creation. And he talks about this, chapter 9. I'll just read those famous Achintya Beta Beta Tattva verses. By me in my unmanifested form, my avyakta murti, that murti you can't see. By me in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And then he turns right around mystically and he says, and yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, I am not a part of this cosmic manifestation. For myself is the very source of creation. So this is the sublime Bheda Bheda. You know, we have the Abheda from Shankara, and then we have Ramanuja and Madhva establishing the Bheda, the difference. And then we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Achintya, Bheda, Bheda Tattva, that the source and the emanation, the creator and the creation are inconceivably and simultaneously one and yet different. So after Krishna gets saying this, then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who was always giving us a subtext to these verses, says that Arjuna says to Krishna, oh, you've contradicted yourself. First you say everything is what is it? All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And then he says, and yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence, my yoga maishvarya. So Arjun says, you've contradicted yourself, Krishna. And then Krishna laughs and says, no, this is my expertise. That I can be all-pervading and yet aloof. I can be everywhere and yet somewhere. I can be immanent, I-M-M-A-N-E-N-T, inside everything. And I can be transcendent. And then he gives the analogy, which is the next verse in the Gita. You try to understand it this way, Arjun. Understand that as the mighty wind blowing everywhere rests always in the sky, all created beings rest in me. So that's the analogy. That's a little phone in the background. Pay no attention. As the mighty wind blowing everywhere rests always in the sky, all created beings rest in me. So there's the sky, right? And then there's the blowing wind. So in one sense, they're connected. But in another sense, they're not connected. They're two distinct elements. And then Arjun says, according to Vishwanath, he says to Krishna, well, you've just given me an example, Krishna, of how everything is one and different. How is this your mystic opulence? How is it inconceivable if I can now understand it? And then Vishwanath says, Krishna smiles and says, that's just an example, Arjun. It's just an example. Sky and blowing wind, those are inert elements. And they don't really become attached to each other. They're distinct inert elements. Whereas when you have conscious beings, say you have a leader and his followers, say you have a supporter and his supporters, those conscious beings, they become very attached to each other. They become, as we say, codependent, the leader and the followers. They depend on each other. But I'm not like that, because he's speaking about himself and his witness feature at this point. Because he says in text 9, Udasina vadasinam asaptang teshu karmasu. I am ever detached, seated as though neutral. So this is Krishna in his witness feature. Later in the ninth chapter, he will give how he's simultaneously neutral and partial. He says in 9:29, Samohang sarvabhuteshu name dvesho stina priyaha. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. And you get a two, you get a but. Yebajanti tu mang bhaktiya mayite teshu chkapyaham. But whoever renders service into me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. So that's where the transcendental attachment and love and exchange comes in. Once upon a time, far away and long ago, as they say, in the city of Los Angeles, California, I was serving at Prabhupada's BBT as the indexer for the Bhagavatams. I developed different relationships with the devotees. Excuse me. And also, there was this one fellow who was coming around. I'll take a little drink. This fellow was coming around, very attracted to Krishna, but he was a bit of a gyani, and he was always trying to find fault with the philosophy. So. But he was very thrilled, too, at the same time, to come in contact with the Chincha Beta Beta Tattvas. So one day he came to my office and he said, Sureshwar, you know what? There's one thing Krishna can't do. He can't make me him. He can't make me him. Now, this is a classic example of the false ego of differentiation. Bhishma has said to Yudhisthira, he, Krishna, is free from the false ego of differentiation. Krishna doesn't, he is in touch with he's totally connected with every aspect of himself and his energies. Whereas we, under illusion, under Krishna's illusory energy, due to our misuse of our free will, we've become disconnected. So this question that this person put, he said, there's one thing he can't do, Sureshwar. He can't make me him. As though that were desirable. One of Krishna's opulence is vairagya, renunciation. Although Krishna is God, he's not attached to being God. In fact, he takes more pleasure in exchanging love with his devotees, and he takes more pleasure, as we hear Prabhupada say in the recording, when somebody scolds him. when somebody, you know, pouts and controls them through love. That's what Prabhupada said here. What did he say? The material consentment. He does not feel, therefore, inferior by becoming the chariot driver of his pure devotee. It is the glory of the pure devotee that only he can bring about service from the affectionate Lord. So that old cliche, God is love, it's literally true. Because what conquers even God is love. That famous verse from Lord Brahma. Jnane prayasa mudapasi namante eva jivanti sammukaritang bhavadiya vartam stane stitakshuti katang tanuvan manobhir ye prayasho jita jito kasitais trilokyam. After, you know, getting his comeuppance, so to speak, in the Brahma Vimohana Leela chapter where he tried to steal all the cows, calves, and cowherd boys, and Krishna just expanded himself and all that and bewildered Brahma because Brahma knew he had taken them. He put them in his cave. He came back after a moment of his time to see what was going on, and he saw that there were still the same, appeared to be the same cows, calves, and cowherd boys. And then when he realized that, you know, this cowherd boy, Krishna, is the supreme, he sang these beautiful, beautiful prayers. And in that third prayer, 10.14.3, Jnane Prayasam, Brahma, the biggest brain in the universe, four heads are better than one, Chatumukhi, Brahma, he's saying that those who give up the process of mental speculation, they give up the process of trying to comprehend the absolute truth with the tiny brain. And instead of doing that, simply worship those true, those authentic descriptions of you, Krishna, with their body, their words, their mind. And just staying in their own position. That was Prabhupada's favorite line. Stane stitak shudikatang tanuvan manobir. He was always saying, don't have to change your, just keep stay in your position. Just hear about Krishna. Just lend your ears to Krishna's message. And then what happened? Ye prayaso jita jito pyasitais trilokyam. That unconquerable Krishna, that unconquerable Lord, asamodva, no one is equal to or greater than him. He becomes conquered by love. So God literally is love, because love conquers even Krishna by his mercy, by his arrangement, by his will. So this person, he said, Sureswara, he's one thing that Krishna can't. He can't make me him. And I, you know, so I was a little, you know, kind of nonplussed for a minute. And then I said, wait a minute. Guess what? Krishna, he takes more pleasure in coming as his own devotee. He doesn't even care about being God, the source of it all, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. He wants to taste what it's like to love himself. Therefore he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radharani's Mahabhav. So what sublime philosophy, what sublime rasa. And by the mercy of Bhishmadev, we are getting the tattva, and in the purports we get a little glimpse of the rasa. Once our heads are screwed on right, once we get philosophically what's going on, that Krishna is the master and we're the servants, then we can, and through discipline, through the disciplines of bhakti, our senses, our mind, our intelligence, our thinking, our feeling and willing all become purified. Then we can properly enter a relationship with Krishna. To try to do that prematurely is called sahaja. Sahaja means we take everything very easy and very cheap. And we mistake our material emotions for spiritual emotions. And, you know, while ostensibly cultivating Krishna consciousness, really we're still attached to intoxication and illicit sex. So by following the disciplines of bhakti, we get purified, we get the higher taste, and we properly understand things, and Krishna is pleased to reveal himself to us as we serve. So I'm going to stop there. And Ramananda, how does it work with questions again? Do you take them, or otherwise it's kind of a free-for-all, isn't it? What happens?
It's a free-for-all. As far as questions, we haven't had a problem. Just anybody that has can just jump right in.
Okay. Or comments, or plea, or corrections? Teachers love room for improvement. I'm trying to be a teacher. Please.
Very nice class.
Prabhujan, yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Very, very nice class. And it was so clear, you left me without a question.
Well, comment, anything.
Nice to have you back, Sarasvara Prabhu.
Hi, Jonas. Nice to be back. A good trip is when you're glad to go and you're glad to come back. And I'll be here, Krista lets me, until mid-September when I'm going to go back the long way this time through America and Europe and like that, Middle East.
I got a little lost at the end of that interesting question that, that Rascal had posed. Somehow I'm sure you answered it clearly, but maybe I missed it or I got distracted. What was the final answer? What was the final conclusion that, you know, Sureshwar, if Krishna can do anything, why can't he make me him?
Yeah, that question.
What was the conclusion of your answer?
Well, I was trying to tie it in with the recent days, it's a small skill of differentiation. In other words, the very question he asked arose from a misunderstanding. Somehow, just like Bhakti Raksridhar Maharaj, his divine grace Bhakti Raksridhar, he wrote a little book called Reality the Beautiful. And the reality the beautiful is that God is, as I said, is love. That's what rules. It rules even the source, our very source, our beloved source, Krishna. So the whole idea that he can't make me him, that's just like somebody would say, you know, how did we fall or something like that. And Prabhupada would say a better question is, how do I get out? We're obviously already here. We're already obviously not the source. We're the emanation. And we're the pain and illusion and all that stuff. So instead of asking, you know, he can't make me, why don't you find out about him and what he's doing? See, that question arises from envy. There's no need for envy the more we find out about one of Krishna. He doesn't, one of his opulences, Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasasriya Jnana Vairagya, he's not attached. He doesn't care about being God. That's that whole, you know, attachment to position. It's got nothing to do with Krishna at all. The reality of the beautiful is that the source loves, you know, speaking technically, philosophically, our beloved source loves to engage in loving exchanges with his infinite, innumerable energies. And as you reminded me yesterday, Nara, Krishna's special mercy is that he uniquely reciprocates with unlimited energies. We all feel, nobody has a relationship with Krishna like each one of us does. That it's simply amazing. We can never comprehend that. We can simply appreciate it. So I don't know if I answered the question, but what I was trying to say was that the very question springs from illusion and envy and misunderstanding about the nature of reality. The nature of reality is that it's all about loving exchange. It's not about position or wanting to, you know, we're always comparing. As soon as Prabhupada says, as soon as somebody's happy, I think, oh, why is he happy? If you're happy, I'm not happy. And if you're not happy, I'm happy. It's such a perversion of reality. The reality is that Krishna is wonderful. We're ultimately wonderful too. Now we have to simply agree to the process to recover that natural identity. So there's no need to even ask that question, you know, why he can't make me him. Or the old silly Zen, you know, mock Zen question of what's the sound of one hand clapping, or what's if a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound? You know. Yeah, Krishna's there, he can hear everything. But anyway, it's the absolute truth is ultimately about loving exchange. It's not about, you know, trick questions. So
right.
Anybody want to jump in there? Maybe Maharaj can add something to that.
Generally, Maharaj stays muted during class.
There's a classic, can God create a rock he can't lift? And the answer is yes, he can create such a rock. In the next nanosecond, he can lift it. He can
That's
do
right.
anything. Pari prasnena sevaya. Just because somebody wants to play mind games doesn't mean that, they're going to outmaneuver God you can't conceive of God with your mind, your peanut brain, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati used to say. With a material mind and senses, you cannot approach the transcendental position of Krishna, So you think you're so smart, you're coming up with some conundrum question, but the only way you access Krishna is through pari prasnana sevaya, some submission, some humble inquiries, not some bizarre, challenging, trick, weird question.
Mm-hmm. Which was supplied to the person by Krishna himself to let the person stay distant, stay separate. Nahang prakashak sarvas. I'm never manifested the foolish and unintelligent.
Right.
So, that's the ultimate answer.
Right. And he'll give someone the intelligence to deny him.
That's right.
If that's the desire of the living entity, he'll give him that one.
That's his mercy.
Nice to see you, hear you again, Suresh Guru.
Nice to hear you, Vidagda. After, I guess we left each other right around the restaurant, right, in Mayapur?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm tempted just to chat about Mayapur, but we better stay on point here. Any other questions or comments? It's going to get better, by the way. It gets better and better. This is a beautiful, beautiful chapter because it's all about, it does come to more just rasa. After Yudhisthira has been enlightened and pacified, so to speak, in the play, in the divine Leela, then Bhishma just fixes his mind on his worshipable Lord. And that's one reason Krishna arranged the whole thing. Because Bhishma had that. Go ahead.
Yeah, you asked for a comment. The only thing I would comment was that your answer is very nice. But just that when we were in one mathematics class in university, One professor went through these things. Can God lift a rock, create a rock that he can't lift? And he showed that they're all, they redefine the terms as they're going on, so that their questions just have no meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. If A equals B, then can B not equal A? No, it can't. He said it equals A.
Thank you. That's very good, because God, by definition, means you can do anything. So they're in midstream. They're always, they're, in other words, word jugglery.
Yeah.
Bhajagovindam. Samprapte sanihite kale nahi nahi rakshiti dukrin karane. Shankara, the biggest, he juggled the whole Vedas, Shankaracharya, and he finally said to his followers, hey, this won't save you at the time of death. You're juggling prefixes and suffixes of Sanskrit. Just Bhajagovinda, give it up, get over it, serve Krishna. Nice to hear your voice, Maharaj.
Suresh Prabhu, a clever answer to that clown would have been, actually in Vaikuntha, one of the five liberations is you get a form like the Lord.
Yeah. But I was trying to point out to my answer. I was trying to point out to him, it's the most desirable thing. God wants to know what it's like to be a devotee. He comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's even more desirable because God is love, and he's wondering why the heck are the gopis enjoying 10 million times more than me? So he has to come as the greatest gopi, Radha, to taste that Mahabhav. And that's the most desirable thing. His question was proceeding from envy. Krishna is not about envy. He's about loving exchange. So it's just poor fund of knowledge. Okay, any more questions? Very nice to be here. And I guess, Ramananda, you can tell me when you'd like me to come back on board, maybe every couple of weeks. I got tons of stuff to do here.
Well, thank you, bro. I was thinking that every other week, that would be too much of a burden on you.
Yeah, plus this is an all-star team I'm entering here. I mean, when I hear the names, it's my God. I, every 2 weeks, a I hope I can make that rotation.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have some very good speakers here.
Yeah.
We're really very indebted to Hanuman Prashek Swami for staying, not only giving classes, but he comes in and listens to us, keeps us on track. Sureshwar Prabhu is going to be giving Bhagavad Gita class tomorrow evening, if anyone would like to listen in. It's at 6 o'clock Hawaii time.
And that's on 4:35, correct?
It's the one after Tadvidi Pranipatena.
The one after that, right?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, you're the only one, or anyway. I don't know if that versus my number.
Okay.
It would be nice to hear some of your Mayapur realizations.
What's that, Janet? It
would be nice to hear about your Mayapur pastimes and realizations.
If I can somehow weave it into the points of the class, I guess that would be appropriate. Otherwise, maybe that's something separate. But frankly speaking, I was just teaching the whole time, teaching and studying and preparing. And so it wasn't like I really moved around a lot, you know. So. Okay, I guess that's all.
Jai Prabhu.
Jai.
Beautiful class, bro.
Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Samavita Bhakti Vindaki Jai.
Jai.
Hare
Krishna. Shabbatam Ki Jai. Hare Bhagavan.
Jai.